Welcome to a Wholeness Podcast, a healthy home for hair professionals and our clients, where health and happiness is the top priority for those within the hair industry. Serving those who serve and giving the hair industry one great big hug. Hello, I'm your host, Fliss Downs, a barber, yogi, and meditation teacher. Come on in. Before I crack on with today's episode, if you haven't done so already, please hit the follow button on Spotify or on iTunes and leave me a star rating and review. By doing this, you will be helping me reach a wider audience and get the message out there sooner rather than later. I'd also like to mention that this podcast is proudly sponsored by Earth and Soul Pizza. If you are local to or travelling through Bairnsdale, use my promo code LOVEFLISS. That's LOVEFLISS. And get yourself a free large pizza when you buy one. With locally sourced produce and food exceptionally made by the team at Earth and Soul Pizza, be sure to get your wholesome, blissful pizza.
We have made it. We've made it to 52 episodes, a year worth of episodes of a Wholeness Podcast. Can you believe it? I am sitting here slightly astounded at myself for my constituency of my devotion to this podcast. And particularly as of this year, I said to myself at the end of 2023, I promised myself that I will provide an episode to my audience once a week. And I've been solidly doing this now for half the year. It's just amazing at how much things can change and how much we can achieve if we just stick to something and put time and energy and effort into it. And if we just have that little bit of patience. And for me, patience does not come easily to me. I am not one to have patience. But this, my beautiful beings, has been pleasantly surprising. The patience that I've had to have with building my guest list, with building connections, with generating conversations all over the world so I can bring you these amazing humans, and to have me and them in your ear on a weekly basis. To me, this just feels so special. And oh God, I'm very excited for today's episode to share a conversation between myself and Matthew Guerin, also known as the Barber Coach. Matthew's gone on into his career and won awards. He's a barbershop owner to, I believe, two. I've actually forgotten that bit of information about Matthew. Anyway, needless to say, this man is one hell of an awesome human. I've been in touch with Matthew now for a good couple of years, and we've been back and forth over WhatsApp. Like many of my guests, I've not met them in person. So, this conversation is brought to you by the Barber Coach TV. I was absolutely honoured for Matthew to invite me on the Barber Coach live seminar last week. And this conversation is a result of our live seminar. So, this isn't the full version because this version has been edited. But what I love about this conversation between myself and Matthew is we're just so honest and open, and we both share our struggles being in the industry. We both share about our own mental and physical well-being as well. And I wholeheartedly believe it's conversations like this that will help build a healthy and happy hair industry. And this goes for all industries. This goes for just any human being. All the time we can have genuine, authentic, honest, truthful conversations. That is going to be an essential way for us to move through the world, to build deeper connections, to be healthier, happier humans. This world that we live in can throw us so much noise. And when do we stop to just listen to ourselves? When do we stop and turn inwards rather than projecting outwards? So with this conversation between myself and Matthew, we go a little bit inwards with this. And I invite you to come and join us on this journey. So what are we waiting for? Let's get stuck into it.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Barber Coach TV. I'm really excited to be interviewing Fliss, the yoga barber, who's currently in Melbourne in Australia. How are you, Fliss?
I'm good, thank you, Matthew. How are you, my love?
I'm okay, I'm good. It's come to the end of my day, but it's the start of your day, is it?
It is indeed. It's about 5:30 in the morning, so up nice and early, ready to go. Not quite ready to go, still got to have the shower and get ready for work, but yeah, I'm ready to rock and rumble.
That is so early. So what time do you start work?
I get into work for 8:30. So I'm generally awake at 5 and then meditate straight away most days. If I can, I'll jump into the sauna. I go to my local leisure centre, come home, have a shower, make my smoothie, make sure I've got some nutrition food for the day. And then, yeah, crack on at 8:30. Depending on my day, sometimes it's 8.5 hours or 11.5 hours. So we know what that's like, working long hours.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about the yoga barber, what you're doing. Tell me about the podcast. Obviously, I know who you are, but for anybody that's going to be watching this back or anybody that joins us on the live, who are you, what you do, and why do you do it?
Yeah, of course. My name's Fliss, aka the yoga barber. I've been in the industry, God, when I say this, it feels like forever, years pretty much. And what I'm doing currently is looking at a way to help the health and the well-being and the happiness of the hair industry. I've been instigating wellness within the industry by having conversations with other hair professionals, thinking about what's the best way that we can move our body, thinking about what things are happening in the industry as being a barber, as being a hairdresser, what's maybe detrimenting our health, our well-being, our happiness. And through that, I've also created a wholeness podcast where I've managed to have conversations with people in the hair industry, talking about the pros and cons of being in the industry, along with speaking with health professionals to understand what can we do to enhance our health and our happiness. So it's just been this big journey through myself, going through the industry and realizing that my health really took a beating being in the industry, and realizing it's detrimenting many of us in the industry. And what can I do? What can we do as a collective to make ourselves healthier and happier? And it's not something that you can just do overnight. It's something that it takes time, and it takes also conversations like this. So thank you for having me on, Matthew.
Oh, thank you. I'm grateful that you've given us some content for the Barber Coach TV, and you're one of our educators, because I used to suffer terribly with my back, and I still do a little bit of times, so because I forget things and I just kind of get complacent. But after watching some of your videos, I've started implementing them in the barbershop, and it really has helped. But what concerns me a bit is, enough people maybe don't pick up on the fact that if they're not looking after themselves, they don't pick up on the fact that maybe their body's going to tell them something, and it can eventually lead from physical pain to mental pain. And I was finding if I was struggling physically, it was causing me to struggle mentally. So I'd start work at 10 in the morning, finish at 7, 8 o'clock at night. By about 4 o'clock, I'm in agony. I'm crippled in pain. My back's in agony. Old rugby injuries are coming back to haunt me. My shoulders are hurting. And I got to the point that I was taking strong painkillers to get by. And then when I was getting home in the night then, I was drinking a lot of alcohol to try and get by and things. And eventually got into a place where I was struggling with mental health and stuff. But I think, as well as maybe little things, lifestyle things, but I honestly think that if my physical health was better, I never have got to where I got to with my mental health. So how do you find both of those things tied together?
Yeah, God, very, very understandable as to why all of that came together. And when you're experiencing your physical pain, that then knocks off onto your mental health. Very, very similar, I would say. Mind, body and spirit, they're all connected. And I think that's one reason why I love yoga so much, is because I'm moving my body, I'm enhancing the flexibility, the mobility. But also, not only am I moving my body, I'm also coming to the internal state as well through moving with my breath, through being present in the moment with each move. And when it comes to the mind and the body connection, they're so connected. And I think so many of us disregard that. And then it's either your mental health that goes first or your physical health that goes first, and then the other one stumbles afterwards. So it's one of those things for us as a hair professional is to look after all aspects of our well-being, whether that be emotional, mental, physical, spiritual. And not everyone out there is spiritual or into spirituality, but you don't have to be spiritual to practice yoga. You don't have to be spiritual to do breath work. You don't have to be spiritual to meditate. And I hear lots of people say that they can't meditate because their brain just keeps on going and going and going. But the thing is we can meditate throughout the whole day. You know, when you're driving a car and you're driving to work and you've driven a few miles and you don't even realize that you've driven that time, you've gone into a meditative state without you realizing it. Or if you're baking and cooking and you're mixing a salad up or the dough, whatever it might be, and you're in the present, that's a meditative state. So they're certainly connected, and you can just incorporate so much into your life, the most littlest of things. And like I said, you don't have to be spiritual to go down that path whatsoever.
But can I ask you then, when you meditate and things in the mornings before work, what do you do, how do you do it, and why do you do it? Because I'd like to learn a bit more about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so first thing in the morning, I get up, go to the bathroom, then I have no distractions, and sometimes jump back into bed. I sometimes lie down, sometimes sit up, sometimes I'm in the living room, sometimes I'm on the floor. So wherever I'm at that given moment, what I'm wanting to do, I just go and do it. And I just sit peacefully. Generally, through meditation, it is ideal to sit up straight and really make sure that your spine is elongated. And the way that a lot of people describe it is if you're a puppet kind of thing, you've got a string on the top of your head lifting you up. But the main thing is to having a spine nice and erect, it brings your attention to where you are in that given moment. And sometimes I can't get into that meditative state straight away, and that's absolutely okay. So I generally sit there with my spine nice and elongated. I either have my palms facing up, palms facing down. I either have them together in my lap, generally legs crossed or in butterfly pose where your soles of your feet are together and your knees are out wide. And last of all, tune into my breath to begin with. So that might just be as simple as saying, I'm inhaling, I'm exhaling. Or it might be, I count to five, inhaling, and then I count to five, exhaling. So first of all, I come to the breath straight away. And that just helps regulate yourself coming back to the present moment and bringing you to a focus point rather than your brain going left, right, and center. And the other thing that I could say is thoughts are going to arise. And if and when thoughts arise, I acknowledge them, I witness them, I accept them, and I just let them pass by. And then I might be calm for a moment, and then another thought comes in and I see it, I become aware of it, I accept it, and then I let it go by. And not necessarily always that simple for me, because every day is different, right? So something might have happened the day before that I'm stressing about, or I'm worrying about something that's going in the future. So it's just natural that all of those things would come up. Sometimes I set an alarm. So I might just say to myself, right, I just want to meditate for 5 minutes, or I want to meditate for 30 minutes, whatever that might be. And then sometimes I don't set an alarm. Sometimes I literally just sit there and just allow that time to pass by, and whenever I'm ready. If I'm not doing that, then I'm listening to somebody like Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is a neuroscientist. He's a lecturer, an author. There's loads of things online about Dr. Joe Dispenza. So I jump onto some of his meditations, which you can find on YouTube. But also my meditation teacher who taught me how to become a meditation teacher is Brett Moran. So he's from the UK, lives over in Thailand. And I listen to some of his meditations. And I'm lucky that I've gone onto his program where I've got access to the 10 meditations that he teaches for me to be able to go on to teach others. And so I just jump on there, or I listen back to my own meditations as well. So yeah, that's going to be my next avenue for the meditation side of things, is to be able to provide hair professionals and people who aren't necessarily in the hair industry to gain access to a 10-week meditation program. And I meditate mainly for my own mental well-being. And I found meditation a year ago. It's not the first time I found meditation, but it was the first time I truly actively meditated and got obsessed with it, basically. And that was through severe stress, anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts kicking into my life again. And poor mental well-being has been in my life ever since I was a teenager and when I lost my nana at 16 years old. And so for me, I meditate because it's my medication, basically. And I haven't had antidepressants for the last, I'd say, nine years, I would say. And so for me, a year ago, just something hit me. And the universe, as much as it sounds crazy, the universe just said, meditate to me. And so I listened to that and I typed in on Google, Brett Moran, meditation. And a 22-minute positive affirmation meditation came up. And at the end of that meditation, he said, you can do this for 10 days, 20 days, 30 days. And I just set myself a goal, right? I've got to do this for 30 days. I'm feeling like I'm hitting rock bottom here. And I'm done with this. I'm so over going in and out of depression. And I want to conquer this. And I had no expectation of what meditation could do for my life. And all of a sudden, within 30 days, I noticed that depression was lifting, anxiety was lifting. I was noticing how I could respond to other people was just so much more clearer. And I wasn't snapping as much. And I managed to detach myself from situations and what people were saying to me. And from those 30 days, I just continued because I realized the utter shift and benefits that it had within my own mental well-being. So, you know, if there was to say one thing why I meditate, it's to be able to stabilize my mental well-being and enable me to actually be a happier person and cope with stressful situations that maybe, you know, a year ago I wouldn't have been able to handle, but now I feel so much more collected in myself.
That's amazing. So it really does work then.
It's definitely worked for me, Matthew.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I want to show people how that can work for them too, you know?
Yeah, that's great. No, that's great. So tell me then, am I meditating? Because I've suffered with anxiety, depression, mental health. It wasn't like deep depression. It was like short bursts of just difficult times, I think. Lifestyle experiences were causing it. And then when I started coming away from that and trying to sort of improve and better myself physically and mentally, and I was getting stronger physically, which would help me get stronger mentally. But I used to, when certain thoughts would come that would maybe affect me negatively or make me anxious or make me scared, I'd stop and I'd look at those thoughts and I'd take them captive and I'd analyze them. And then I'd actually, in my brain, I would try to just crush the thoughts and push them away. And I'd then focus my thoughts on something more positive. And I would basically like be blocking these negative thoughts. I'd actively try and do that in my head. And I would talk to myself and I would say things to myself to help keep me focused and keep me motivated. Is that a form of meditation then? Was I doing it without realizing?
Yeah, I guess you could say that he was actively doing it rather than passively doing it. You're replacing those thoughts. That's a really good way. It's basically a sense of coping. It's a coping mechanism. It's a tool that you've formed for yourself that works for you to block out those negative thoughts or those stresses and nuances that's going on in your life. So you're getting there. It's a way forward for you to be like, okay, well, if I can do that, I can meditate. And when it comes to meditation, it's not necessarily about replacing a thought like what you've just explained. It sounds like you're replacing a negative for a positive. So you're crushing the negative. You're then going, right, what am I grateful for in my life? And finding gratitude in what's in your life, which is a really amazing thing. And I guess that partly might be a bit like your positive affirmations. With positive affirmations, you are saying positive phrases, which is also known as mantras, to yourself. So you're certainly on the right track there, Matthew, definitely. And when it comes to meditation, there's another way that I explain it is sort of I Tai Chi that shit. So I don't know whether you've heard of Tai Chi at all, but it's where you're moving energy in or away from you. And so I tend to Tai Chi those negative thoughts. So it sounds like what you're doing is you're Tai Chi-ing it by crunching them. As I do it, I move the thoughts away from me and I move that energy away from me. But it sounds like you're crushing it and you're screwing this path of, and chucking it in a bin in your mind. And so that's a great way to begin, and then replacing them with positive affirmations. It's certainly a great start into the meditative world without you even realizing it.
Oh, that's interesting. So are you focusing mainly on meditation? How is your sort of courses and workshops going to be meditation, or is this still going to be any yoga going on?
Yeah, so predominantly meditation. That's really more so what I'm wanting to focus on because it's where I've insanely noticed a difference in my life. 152,000%. And so because I've seen the benefits within my mental well-being, my clarity, my vision, my outlook on life, how I interact with others, and not allowing other people to impact me like they once were, meditation is definitely the route that I'm going down now in terms of teaching that and educating people around meditation. There is still going to be a sense of yoga in that because meditation and breath work comes into yoga. Yoga is a meditative practice. It's just you're actually moving your body rather than sitting still and being in that passive position. So yeah, meditation's the way forward for me. And I feel it's just such a powerful, powerful tool. And so many people, I would say it's potentially, when I say fearful, I don't mean utterly scared of it, but I think there's lots of people that just say, I can't meditate. I don't know how to do it. My brain doesn't stop. And the thing is, your brain's never going to stop. Our brain was designed to think. And it's not necessarily about stopping your brain from thinking. It's about actually just calming down those thoughts and coming internally and coming back to yourself and finding the center within yourself. So by far, meditation is the route that I'm going down because I've just realized and seen and witnessed the huge impact that it's had on my life, more so than yoga. But I think yoga is very much important to have because that's the physical aspect, mobility, flexibility.
So meditation instead of medication then, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
I love that. Do you think that's what antidepressants do then? They sort of stop your brain from thinking. It doesn't fix anything. It just stops your brain from working. Whereas meditation allows you to learn how to control your brain, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm nowhere near a psychologist or psychiatrist or GP who can prescribe those medications. But like I said, I was on antidepressants. I found very much during those 8, 9 years that I was on antidepressants, it was just suppressing everything. I wasn't actually dealing with my mental well-being. And at points, I didn't even really know why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. I didn't know why I was crying. I didn't know why I felt suicidal. Whereas through meditation, I've managed to really analyze my thoughts. We all have judgment. We all have stories. We all have opinions, beliefs, all in our brain. And it's relentless. It keeps on going and going and going. And so through meditation, I've managed to really subdue all these judgments, stories, opinions, beliefs that I've had that have once been detrimental to my well-being, my overall well-being. It's not just the mental well-being or the emotional well-being, but my overall well-being, because through meditating, I've also managed to go, well, I'm going to start working out again. So from meditating, coming back to your point at the beginning where you talked about your physical and your mental well-being, you know, through meditating, I got back to the gym. You know, I reduced my physical symptoms that I was having, my pain. You know, I was having severe pains in my hands last year. And over a period of time, I managed to get back to the gym. And so then you've got the mental aspect as well as the physical aspect. You're dealing with your emotional aspect and the spiritual aspect. So definitely focusing more on meditation than yoga, but it all does come together for sure. And I do really intend on getting back into teaching yoga in the future as well, properly. But all the time I'm sort of caught up in a full-time job, being a barber. And as you know, there's only so much you can cram into it. And me doing my podcast as well, it's like, it's relentless. It's just go, 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 go. But I also meditate to keep myself sane throughout all the busy, chaotic ness, you know?
No, fair play to you. I know how busy life can be. I got a lot going on as well at the minute. And like we were saying at the start of our little chat before we went live, is I've got a distraction of kids, you haven't, and you still manage to fill up your diary in such a way. So fair play to you. So talk to me about work then. Talk to me about Barbara. And then if you want to ask me anything, you're more than welcome. So how's the industry for you? How's the Barbara experience for you now? The shop you're in, how are you getting on?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, I think both you and I have been in the industry for a fair time, so we've probably seen lots of different things throughout my career. I was just thinking this morning, I think I've worked for about 11 different companies. Two of them companies are self-employed in, and certainly being self-employed was by far the best decision that I chose in my career. And look, going in and out of the industry and talking earlier on about how my health was detrimented, and this is why I do what I do as well, is because I've witnessed, and as you witnessed as well, Matthew, with your well-being, we get beaten in this job, absolutely beaten. And I think when I first started in the industry and started my career, I thought it was the most glamorous job ever. I was like, I'm a hairdresser and I get to make everybody look luscious. And that's just the superficial stuff. That's just the materialistic stuff, right? And what we don't realize is actually what happens as a hairdresser, as a barber, as the years go on. Just to run through a few things is I've noticed people lack hydration. They're not drinking enough water, or if they are drinking, they're having energy drinks to keep them going, or coffee. Well, that within itself is a problem, right?
Well, look, this is what I was doing, right? I was having energy drinks to get through the day, more energy drinks than I was coffee, but I was having a bit of both. And then I was taking painkillers because I was struggling so bad with pain that I was getting home of the night. And I was so physically messed up with painkillers and caffeine that my body didn't know if it was coming or going. And I'd end up drinking alcohol then to try and bring me back down so I can go to bed. I mean, I think I had a sip of water for the whole day. And I was wondering then why my head was fried and why my body was fried, you know? So, it was a killer.
And now, are you drinking water at work more than your energy drinks? What's that ratio like for you now?
Well, I've massively reduced my energy drinks, and I do have maybe two coffees throughout the day. But what I've started doing is before I leave for work, I'd have a big pint of water with some Himalayan salts. So I'll have some Himalayan salts in the morning, or maybe I'll have a couple of Himalayan rocks, and I'll just suck on them and have a pint of water. And then I take a bottle of water to work with me. When I get to work then, I will have a black coffee. But then in between, I'll have water. Maybe I'll have another black coffee. But then what I tend to do is then for my lunch, I'll get a meal deal. But I'll get a meal deal with coconut water. And I've been finding that's been amazing for hydration and amazing electrolytes and for my health. I drink loads of coconut water now. Do you know what? To the point, right? That maybe if I've forgotten to drink a bit and I've had a couple of coffees and I'm feeling a bit jittery and a bit dehydrated and just that little, I find it brings some sort of like ache on. I get like a bit of an ache when I need hydration. And I go and get a bottle of coconut water. And after about three sips of that, it's like my body's going, oh, thank you so much. You know, it just feels amazing. It's honestly changed my life. I love coconut water. It makes me feel so good.
Oh, honestly, it's the best. And like you said, you mentioned electrolytes. It's so important. And even the salt as well. And I think just these little things us hair professionals can do to help us actually tackle our day, keep hydrated, make sure our salt levels don't drop, you know? So, yeah, and just you explaining and showing me how it makes you feel, that sums it up by just literally having a few gulps of coconut water. And I don't know about you, in your workplaces where you have worked and also in your own shops, do you see many barbers having a litre of water next to their station or not?
But you know what normally happens is one or two of the lads who think they're a bit sporty and think they like to keep fit, they come in with a big bottle of water, and you normally see that when they leave at the end of the day, the water's still there, no one's drunk any of it. So we do bring them in, but very rare does it get drunk. Half the time it gets left behind and ends up in the bin because they've gone to the shop and had an energy drink. So look, I'm going to be honest. I've got an energy drink. It's a 10 zing, is it? It's one of those green, natural, organic ones. It's 50 grams of caffeine. So if I grab one, I try and make better, healthier options, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to lie, I do have them every now and again. But the atmosphere in our shops are like everyone comes in with the attitude of being healthy and doing well, and everyone's trying to encourage each other to eat healthy and do well. And by the end of the day, it's gone out the window because we've been so tired, so busy, that then we send in one of the trainees to the shop and he's coming back with loads of monster energies. Do you know what I mean? And it happens a few times a week, I'm not going to lie to you. But not for me anymore, I've stopped it.
Good, that's amazing. I think making something fun around drinking water or coconut water in the shop. For instance, even making sure all your staff have a litre of water or coconut water next to them on the station. And the best thing to keep hydrated is to actually just have a few sips of water every half an hour. So literally, as you're getting your station ready for your next client, just pause for a moment, have a few gulps of water, crack on with your next client. Repeat every half an hour, just a few zips of water. And I've got that knowledge. I've been doing that for years now, actually. And I didn't realize the huge benefits. But in one of my most recent episodes with a guy called Philip, he is a health analyst. So he actually understands a lot about hydration. So I'll have to find out what episode that is for everybody to go back to if they want to. But yeah, have a competition. Who could drink their liter of water first? And not necessarily about gulping the whole liter of water down first thing in the morning. It's like, have a little competition between you guys of who's going to drink their liter of water first? Who's going to get maybe 2 liters of water in them that day? And just see the difference. Like you were saying before, the fogginess. If you're hydrated, the less likely you are to feel foggy in the mind. Also, the less likely you are to have headaches. So make that fun. Like, right, guys, water bottle on the station, whoever's going to drink their liter of water first, like actively. So when I say actively, every half an hour, take a few gulps. Maybe even when you're talking to a client and you're feeling a bit starch and your mouth is a bit dry, have a few gulps of water. And it could be as simple as, oh, I'll buy you a chocolate bar. I know that's kind of counterproductive, but, you know, make it fun in your shop to be like, right, guys, we've all got to do this as a collective. You know, if one person's lagging and they've only drunk a quarter of their water bottle, but the others have drunk half of their water bottle, be like, come on, mate, you've got a down quarter of that. Make it fun so then everybody's actively, collectively coming together to hydrate themselves, and you'll be such a better team for it.
It's a really good idea. And we do something similar with steps. So everyone have those smart watches on. They're like, oh, how many steps have you done today? How many steps have you done today? So we do have a bit of banter with that. And say we've trained, we will question each other now because we've got like a 10K coming up soon. So we're all meant to be training.
Yeah.
And people say like, oh, I haven't seen you on Strava this week. Have you done a run? Yeah, I've done a run. Well, if you're not on Strava, it hasn't happened. So now we're like actively trying to go on Strava to prove ourselves, you know. But I just want to give us information before we move on. I had a quick look on Instagram while you were talking. So your episode 47 with Phil Rankin, Water is Life and the Living on the Boundary. Is that the one?
That's the one. Yes. Thank you for checking that out, Matthew. Appreciate that.
Episode 47. That's cool. That's fantastic. So yeah, it's a really good idea. We do it with exercise. So why not do it with food and water? Do you know what I mean? Why not?
Absolutely. You mentioned about how many steps that you can get in. One of my points that I've got and I've wrote down here and even just something that I actively do every day is I move around my chair as much as I possibly can. It's non-negotiable for me. I do not stand next to my station and be stagnant and move my client around in the chair. I've seen so many barbers, particularly barbers, more than hairdressers, because hairdressers are a bit more active when they're colouring and they're foiling. Yes, they have the trolley next to them, but barbers particularly, I've noticed this so much ever since I've been in the barbering side of the industry from 2018. Barbers will stand next to their station, so they just need to move one hand and they don't step around their chair. They turn their client around in their chair, and that's awful because all your blood is just flushing down and it's weighing heavy down into your feet and your calves, and not having a good circulation, not having a good blood flow, that can lead to thread veins. It can lead to also DVT, so deep vein thrombosis, which is really not nice to have. Luckily I've never experienced it, but even people being in office work when they're sitting down all day, if you're not moving your body, if you're not allowing that blood to pump around your body, the likelihood or the risks of you experiencing DVT, deep vein thrombosis, is so much greater than if you was to actually actively move your body. I joke with my clients, Matthew, and I say, oh, I wish there was a step calculator to calculate how many side steps I take, you know, because we don't literally walk around forward, we take side steps, right? And I think sometimes these step calculators don't necessarily take into consideration side steps because we're moving at such small paces, we're moving very short distance, we're not walking 500 meters or 1k. But by the time you think about it, by the time we've walked around our clients time and time and time and time again, we've definitely done a fair few k. But the step calculators don't necessarily always pick that up unless, for instance, you walk from your client's chair to the towel warmer or to go and get the broom as such, you know. So Yeah, that's another thing that I do is I really pay attention and I just keep on walking around my client as much as possible.
Oh, that's good. Fair play. It's good to be conscious of those things because health is wealth, isn't it? I mean, if you haven't got your health, you haven't got anything. And I used to complain and moan about having to work long hours and work hard in the barbershop and it was too much hard work and things. But actually, it's just because I wasn't doing things right. Now that I'm trying to eat healthier, losing a bit of weight, actively focusing on my water and consumption and things and training and even training, you think, oh, it's hard work. But the more you train, the stronger you get, and then the less it hurts. So I'm feeling a lot better in myself, but I used to hate the industry and I got the point of hated being a barber. I would have done anything else other than cut hair because of the pain and the frustration, but it was just because I wasn't looking after myself and I was cutting corners and not putting things right. Prepare to fail, isn't it?
Absolutely, definitely. You've gone through that process of going, I'm not feeling great and I don't want to be in the industry. And same for me, it's been a love-hate relationship. You and me have had that conversation, I think many of times, haven't we, on voice notes on WhatsApp about how hard this industry is to be in. But if we're looking after ourselves, then it could be so much more enjoyable. So you say about working out and eating better. What other things have you put in place for your well-being, and also not just you but also your team? As you've gone through that journey, have you gone, oh, I'm feeling better and I want my whole team to feel better? You talk about you do your step counts and everybody brings in the water but they don't drink it. But what have you noticed throughout your career from the beginning to now that you've implemented to prevent all the pains, but also what do you do as a team, or what do you want to start incorporating more into your teamwork?
So we try and keep each other accountable. So a lot of us have had rough backgrounds. Like rough is the right word, but maybe a lot of alcohol consumption. Like where I'm from, there's a lot of alcohol and drugs and things going on. And maybe there's been people who have worked for me who have struggled with temptations in that area. So we've tried to keep ourselves accountable recently. So I've basically stopped drinking. I only ever have a drink now on special occasions, and it's only a small drink. I don't like to get drunk anymore, and I don't drink too much anymore. So, and I find that by me being the owner, the manager, the older person there, and the busier barber there, people do look up to me. They do take me seriously. So when they've seen me losing weight and they've seen me being healthier and they've seen my mental health being better, they've started asking questions. And it allows me then to encourage them. So if I see them doing things I think isn't good for them, I can pull them aside and tell them. Whereas if I was still drinking, still putting weight on, still making a mess of myself, then how am I then able to tell my other barbers what they should or shouldn't do? So by me changing my life and bettering myself, it's allowed me to gain more respect from my barbers. Then I can have a word with them. So we do keep each other accountable. If someone's gone out on the weekend and things, we'll make a point of bringing it up. Do you know what I mean? Because they don't like it because they know they shouldn't have done it, sort of thing. We do it in a kind way. We don't make fun of each other, but we're like, oh, you know, I thought you weren't going to drink again. Remember now you've got this coming up, or you've got that coming up, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah, I know. But it's caused everyone to reduce their consumption and to reduce their going out and to reduce potential drug intakes and things. So though maybe, like, I got young barbers working with me, so though they're not all absolutely perfect, there's definitely been a reduction because I've led from the front and they thought, well, if he's doing it, I can do it. Do you know what I mean? So that's helped. We've all agreed to sign up on a 10K run together. We've set up like a little football team that we play together. So on this weekend coming up, we're doing a five-a-side tournament. So we put ourselves in positions where we have to then be active, do things. We go for a run after work sometimes if the weather's good. We all go to the local park and run together and things. Just things like that, really. All of us have fallen into a new path of trying to be healthier, trying to be better. And I don't know if it's maybe because I have, or I have because maybe one of the other barbers have, but somehow this year we've all sort of made little changes. There's been a lot of big events take place, like people have lost friends, I've lost family, my father passed away of a heart attack. And I think all those little things has woken us all up a little bit. It's made me realize if I don't better myself, I'm going to end up dying of a heart attack, and I don't want to leave my kids fatherless. So I started making changes. Then a friend of mine who started cycling before me, so he was already on his fitness journey, decided that he wanted to start doing marathons and potentially do it for charity and things. So then one of the other barbers then was quite competitive, was like, well, if you guys do that, I'm going to do that. You know, because I can be helpful and I can be competitive and I can raise money for charity. And it's so we've all just sort of somehow just done it together without actively saying, we should do this, guys. We've just had little sort of enlightenments, little wake-up calls, and we've all just started doing it. And because one has started, the other one's jumped on it. And then together as a team, we've grown and started pushing each other and keeping each other accountable. So it's it's happened accidentally, but we haven't tried to implement anything. But because one has, the others are followed. It just goes to show how powerful influence is, you know?
Yes. Dynamo's effects, right?
But yeah, exactly. That's what's happened. That's exactly what's happened.
Yes. Yeah, that's so good. And look, I love the fact that you're all like, yeah, let's do a 10K, because that can be quite daunting for some people. I was just speaking to Lorenzo, who's a physiotherapist who was on a Whole Nest podcast, and he hates running, but he's wanting to better that and challenge himself to run just even 5K. So he's coming up with this idea where he's creating a running club for people who don't like running.
Flash. I love that.
I thought that's such a good idea, because there's some people out club. There that don't want to go running.
Oh, I hated running. Like I was all about, no, I do weights because I don't run. I'm a strong person, so I don't run. But it wasn't that. I was just lazy. I was picking weights because I didn't want to run. But now that I've implemented cardio and running into my routine, I'm absolutely loving it. And like before, I wanted to try and lose weight, so I'd go back to the gym. But because I didn't do any cardio and I just did weights, the weight coming off then was very difficult. It would take so long. And then I'd end up falling off the wagon again. But as soon as I started running, within about 3 or 4 weeks of running and watching my diet and just being conscious of what I'm eating, I've seen the weight flying off me. And I thought, oh, hang on a second here. This is good. And it was motivating. So within a matter of, I'd say, I've had an up and down 6 months. I started losing weight because I signed up for a charity boxing match. So that's where the training started, and I've seen the benefits of it. Then after the charity boxing match, I relaxed a little bit. And then my dad passed away, so I completely fell off the wagon. For a month, I was just drinking every single day, drinking every single night. And then I just thought, right, if I carry on like this, I'm going to kill myself. So I just thought February the 1st was the start of my New Year's. January the 1st was hard for me because it was on New Year's Day that my dad was found dead. So January was a write-off. And for me, I was thinking, right, January the 1st, new year, new me, do this, do that. Because my first day of the new year was one of the worst days of my life, it wrote off the start of the year for me. So when February came around, then I thought, right, well, the new year for me moving forward is going to be February the 1st. So now was my second chance, you know, and I jumped on it and changed my diet, changed my training, got back into exercise. And so at my heaviest, I was 21 and a half stone. So about a year ago, what are we now, June? So maybe just over a year ago, 14, 15 months ago, I was 21 and a half stone. It's in a bad place for mental health. It's in a bad place for physical health. But I just kept myself busy with work, and that sort of distracted me from all the problems mentally and physically. But it wasn't really helping me because I wasn't dealing with it. Work was then becoming a problem, you know, as we've discussed. But since having the wake-up call and since starting to make little changes, I'm now down to 17 and a half stone. And this is the lightest I've been in such a long time. And I'm not mega, mega dieting. I'm just making changes. So I've dropped over 4 stone. But I honestly believe doing more cardio and doing a bit more fitness has helped me get there quicker. Whereas if I had just carried on doing weights, I'd have just started feeling slower. My weight loss would have been slower. And then before I know it, my brain just says, oh, it's not working. And then I give up. But by running, you really do see it working fast.
Absolutely. I hope you got some good running trainers, Matthew.
Oh, I don't think they're great. They are running trainers. They're not just like Vans or anything, but I don't think they're very good.
You need to get your gait analysis done, that's for sure. Make sure that your shoes are correct, how you run. When you got your running trainers, did you jump on a treadmill at the running shoe shop for them to see how you land and everything?
No, I went on eBay and I went, running trainers. Oh, they look good. Bye. So
okay, I might help you with that one then.
I got an interesting story for you. So I was using the running trainer, running the roads, and when I started, obviously I was heavy, so I was hurting a bit, and my shins were hurting, and my knees were hurting. And as much as I was loving it, I was enjoying it, and the endorphins were helping me get by, for about 3 or 4 days afterwards, like, I'm older, I'm 36, so I'd put a lot of weight, and I didn't look after myself, so it was a hard journey for me to get back into fitness. And it hurt. Joints hurt. Everything hurt. And I started getting pain in my hip, but I've never had pain in my hip before in my life. And I thought, where the hell is this coming from? I came across an account on Instagram, and he was talking about natural movements and grounding and just being one with nature and one with creation and whatever. So I started walking on the garden barefoot. What you realize is, if there's a lot of big grip on your trainers, that's not a natural position for your body to be in. So what happens then is your body's having to try and make up for the fact that it's got a different position to what it should have naturally. So then hips and joints and things start to sort of compromise its natural ability to try and comfort how your new position is. And it's sort of straightening up to do things they shouldn't have to do. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try running barefoot then to see if that makes a difference. So I started going down to my local football field and I started doing runs on the football field barefoot, and no word of a lie to you, all the pain in my hips and joints went.
Wow. It's so true. So
I do still run the roads. I do still run the roads. I do put trainers on and run the roads. But if I can and the weather's good, I'll go to the local football field and I'll run barefoot and I have no aches or pains in my joints when I do it.
Amazing. Have you heard of the brand Barefoot?
No.
So this is a company who've created shoes that literally will feel like you are barefoot. And of course, when we think about running trainers, a lot of the time it's very padded, isn't it? And a lot of the time the padding's greater at your heel than where your toes are. So yes, they are good to a degree, but the actual brand called Barefoot, they've created shoes where you can literally walk and run in them as if you were barefoot. So that might be a bit of an idea for you. So have a look at them. They are on the pricier side, but it'll prevent you from having that false padding between your foot and then the ground. So that might be something you could look into.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you for sharing as well about your journey at the beginning of the year, because I think starting a conversation like that, or actually becoming a person that you open up and you speak about your story, such as your father's passing, which I'm so sorry that you've gone through that. Just you sharing that will then have a knock-off and effect to another person that might have lost their mum or their brother or a friend, whatever, and say that I went off the wagon too. You just shared that you was drinking for a solid month. And what I want to share, not just yourself, but with everyone, is there's nothing to be ashamed of falling off the wagon. You know, life happens, things happen, events happen in our life. But it's actually how we deal with them. And sometimes we deal with them in maybe not such a kind way to ourselves, like yourself. You went down the route of drinking. That wasn't a kind way to yourself. It's not to be like, oh, you're so bad, Matthew. You shouldn't have done that. It's just like, you just wasn't kind enough to yourself. But in future events, you can say, okay, I turned to alcohol in that instance. But in the future, when something bad and something rocks my life again, what can I do that's going to be kinder to myself? Okay, well, what's going to be kinder to myself is, for instance, meditation, or it could be that you're going to make sure you stay on track with your nutrition and your water. And if you do want to reach for that alcohol, you choose to have coconut water instead. It's just choosing kinder options for yourself. So yeah, thank you for sharing that with us, because it's going to allow somebody else to maybe question the way that they're dealing with something in their life and also open up.
Oh, no problem at all. If it helps someone, then that's what I'm here for. Do you know what I mean? That's my whole sort of my whole motto. What I do with the Barber Coach TV, I do it because there was nothing out there for me when I was learning, when I was training. So I thought, I need to create something that's going to help other people. I seen a gap and I wanted to fill it. It's not just about making money. It's actually about supporting people. So even if talking about something as bad as losing my dad in a difficult time in my life, if that means it helps someone, then it's worth going through those moments if you can use it to help other people. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome, lovely. Just a real quick one, just as a business owner and going through such a hard point in your life and losing your dad, how did you show up for the team back then? Did you communicate with them where you was actually really at? Or did you tend to suppress a fair bit and go into work and just try and get on with things? How did you deal with that with your team?
Yeah, so I'm one who kind of wears my heart on my sleeve, but how can I explain it? So I'm very vocal, I'm very honest, but I do suppress feelings. So I had one day off work and I went back in and I told people what had happened. I was very open about it. I was very clear about it. And I wanted them to say, I don't need to feel that you can't mention something. I don't need to feel like you're treading on eggshells. I don't need to feel like you'll be careful what you're saying. Look, this is what happened. This is where I'm at, but I'm okay. Let's crack on. And then I would suppress the feelings and just get on with it. But I wanted to make it clear to the team that they didn't have to be worried about upsetting. They didn't have to be worried about what they said. I'm very much like, no, what's done is done. I'm going to deal with it my own little way. But I would talk about it. And I would talk about it to the customers. And I would talk about it to my barbers. And my customers, obviously, if they found out about it, they'd be asking me questions. And rather than me just being struggling with emotion all day, I would just answer them. And I would speak with them. And I'd be honest with them. And I think being honest allowed me to manage it efficiently, you know what I mean? But I do suppress things. I didn't let it affect me physically or emotionally. I kind of just got on with it. And I did that meditation thing that I told you about, that I'd I'd think about it in my head. I'd keep it to myself. I'd live within the existence of my mind, and I'd look at the situation. I'd think of the situation, and then I would replace that thought then with, because I have a faith, so I believe that he's in a better place, and wouldn't come back even if I could bring him back. No, he wouldn't. He was a bit unhealthy anyway, and he didn't have a great lifestyle, so he's probably in a much better place now than what he was. So I'd replace my negative thoughts of, oh, I've lost my dad too, or my dad's in a much better place, and I would use that then as energy to move forward.
Yeah. And then look, it got to the point where you then managed to go, I need to stop drinking and I need to get back on with it, you know? So yeah, it's all a collective thing, isn't it, Matthew? It's a ripple effect, just the same as in your shop. And you started this, and then that's had a on the rest of your team. So you've proved what we're both wanting to do in the industry is actually actively be talking about health and well-being and have the benefits and the positive impact within the industry, you know? So
one thing I would say is that communication is key. And I always tell my guys that we need to communicate. When it comes to customers, we have to communicate with the customers. And when it comes to each other, we've got to communicate together with each other. And I'm very much that talking about my experiences and talking about my problems help me. And I'm very vocal. Even to my customers, they'd be like, oh, sorry about your dad, but you probably don't want me to talk about it. You probably wish I hadn't said anything. And I'm like, no, let's talk about it. This is what happened. I'm happy to talk about it, whereas others would struggle to go there because they'd be scared of what could happen or if they'd be affected emotionally. But I don't generally get affected emotionally myself very easily. I'll allow myself to have moments if I need to when I'm alone. I'm very protective and very guarded of showing weakness and emotion. I know it's not weakness as such, but I just don't like feeling weak or vulnerable in a situation. So I'm able to block it out, but I'd still be vocal and honest about it, but I won't show any emotion. But then maybe when I'm alone on a different occasion, I feel vulnerable and I allow myself to be vulnerable and, you know, and emotional. But that's not everybody, though. That's just how I deal with things, you know. But communication is absolutely key and has helped me. Whereas my brother doesn't communicate as well and he struggles a lot more than I do. So I honestly believe being able to talk about it will help you deal with it better.
Absolutely. I feel there's just so many little things that we can do as individuals, but also as an industry to help increase our health and well-being. And it just comes back to the conversation, doesn't it? Just by us two having this conversation, for anybody that listens back to it and tunes in, I think both of us would like to think that at least one person could go away from this conversation and take one thing away and maybe take it into their team or into their work or personal life. You know, it's not just about work, because we don't live just an existence in work. We also have a personal life where we also need to be healthy and happy too. And generally, I know a number of people that aren't happy in their jobs. So if you can make your personal life a lot more of a happier place, then that has a big impact in your own life. That definitely happened for me. And I've enabled my life to be happy on the external world and also really happy and content and feeling joyous and grateful and appreciative within. And that's enabled me to now go into my work environment and just be so much more happier at work, you know. So either way, you can do something about your health and your happiness, whether that be in your personal life or your work life, and that will then transcend into the opposite. And the same with what you said at the beginning of the call, mind and your body. Well, if you work on one, that will then have an impact on the other. So whatever way around you go or wherever you start, it's going to have a knock-on effect for the rest of your well-being, as well as the people that you're around, your friends, your family, your work colleagues and everything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But so I actively made changes to my personal life, which then allowed me to have a better business life. Whereas before that, my whole focus was on my business life and then it damaged my personal life. So what you're saying is spot on. And I'm living proof of it, to be honest with you. So I'm good anyway. I'm wrapped up with what I needed to ask you first. Is there anything else you want to ask me or do you want to call it a day? What are you thinking?
God, look, we've covered an awful lot. It's pretty good. I feel in terms of the industry as a whole, I think that we've got a lot of work to go, haven't we, Matthew? And the health and well-being aspect within the hair industry, it's bubbling. I can feel it. I'm witnessing it. I'm speaking to yourself and speaking to other barbers within Australia here. I'm actually going to be attending an event this coming weekend where I'm going to be helping guide a bunch of barbers through meditation with my beautiful co-hosts, Jake Sherrow and Marianne. And I think in terms of the actual industry, we've got to do something and just even start in these conversations. And it's the thing is, it's not just about the conversations. You've got to actively be doing things as an individual, also as a team, but also as an industry. And you can go into the whole political side of the industry, and that will just come within time. But I definitely see that bubbling feelings is happening in the industry, and it's trying to reduce the concerns and the risks of the health and well-being of hair professionals, because as we know, we're acting as counsellors to our clients, to our work colleagues, but actually who looks after us? And I think that's the thing for me, is I've had to really dive deep into myself to look after myself. And now I want to be able to teach that to other hair professionals to enable others to look after themselves through meditation, predominantly starting with meditation, going into breathwork, yoga, and being the person to hold the industry. I can't do this alone. I can't be the one person to hold the hair industry and to look after the hair industry. We've got to do it as a collective. And that's where other people within the hair industry who are passionate about the health and well-being of us, because who looks after us? They don't, right? We're the ones looking after everybody else. So I feel like as an industry, we need to look after the industry.
Yeah, you're spot on. There's definitely not enough awareness, especially for trainees coming through, with the demands that this industry brings, the negative effects it could have on your health, the habits you fall into, and how damaging it can be for you. And you're right, there's no one out there teaching that, talking about it, or helping people. Or in college, they won't teach you about things you've got to be careful of, and things that you're going to expect, and things you're going to experience. It's only when you're sort of rock bottom and in the middle of it, you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how bad and negative this is. So the fact you're doing this and trying to help other people, I'm really on board, because there's a massive need for it, and it's helped me and you've helped me. So there's obviously a demand for it for other people who are going to need help. And if we can maybe do something together on the Barber Course TV to raise this awareness and help younger barbers who are coming into the industry to make them aware of these things, so they can be on top of it before they end up falling into the hole that we've fallen into, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, definitely. And I would love to offer you and your team, if you guys are up for it, but I'd love to be jumping on a call with you guys and to talk you through a meditation at some point, if that's something that all of your team would like to join in with. Or, you know, it might just be a couple of them, or all of them, or none of them, but I'd love to offer that to you. And even just a half an hour session with you guys, I'd really feel honored to bring a meditation to you and your team. So if that's something that you and your guys would like to do, then the offer is there for you guys. All right.
Oh, you're an absolute star. Oh, amazing. Well, thank you very much for time. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate it so much. It's so good to see your face and hear your voice as well. Normally, we're just voice noting over WhatsApp, so this is really good.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Well, I'll catch up with you in a bit. Have a great day, and I'll speak to you soon. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sleep well, Matthew. Bye, darling.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What an absolute legend Matthew is. I hope you really enjoyed that conversation, because I really loved jumping onto the live webinar. And he's one of those people that you can just speak to and feel like you've known him for years and years and years. So if you are a barber or wanting to get in the barbering industry, or at the start of your career and would like to find an online educational platform where myself and Matthew are educators, as well as Chris Moody, Sean Buckingham, and Kyle Rowland, aka BK Barber, there is going to be a link in the show notes for you to jump onto and get the membership on the Barber Coach TV. All of us educators come from various backgrounds. We specialise in different areas. We have different passions. We all bring a very unique dynamic to the Barber Coach TV platform. Be sure to head onto the show notes and find that link. And who knows, I might even have one of the other barbers from the education platform on a Wholeness podcast come season 2. But for now, if you haven't done so already, make sure you follow A Wholeness Podcast. You follow myself on Instagram at The Yoga Barber. I've also just opened up a TikTok account too. Not much on there, but I am hoping to get some more content on there. And also, if you've not yet done so, or would like to leave another review or star rating, then please, please go and do so. I absolutely love reading people's reviews and responses to each episode, and also to see the number of star ratings increasing whilst time's gone on. So if you haven't done that, or if you'd be so kind to do another one, if you have done one already, then I honestly will be forever grateful to you, beautiful, beautiful beings. As of next week, I am going to be bringing you episode 53 with a lady who I very much look up to, Her name is Dr. Leanne McAvoy, and she was once my client in Bristol when I was living back in the UK during those COVID days. And she invited me to help co-host an 8-week mindfulness self-compassion course. We literally just finished that this week. So by the time you get to listen to our episode together, it'll be a week after that 8-week program that Leanne provides. I won't go on to say much more about Leanne because I will keep that to next week's episode, but another amazing conversation is going to be coming your way. Thank you for listening. Thank you for still being here. And I'm so excited to see how season 2 of AWP evolves. You've got episode 53 to come, episode 54. I'm still toying between what episode 54 is going to be. It might just be a solo cast and then there'll be a bonus episode, or episode 54 will be the final episode of season 1. And if it is going to be the final one, then it's going to be a very unique conversation. And I won't be saying much more than that. But either way, you're going to get this unique conversation. I just haven't figured out whether it's going to be episode 54 or whether I'm going to make that as a bonus episode for you guys. Still sitting with it, to be honest, because I'm going to keep my lips closed. I'm not going to share any more. But very excited to be bringing season 1 to an end within the next month and take a bit of a rest, to be honest, because this takes a lot of energy out of me and a lot of time and dedication, just like what I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. Sending you so much love. And
as always, stay tuned and stay real. Join me every Wednesday for a Wholeness podcast. I'll catch you real soon. Peace, love, and light.